Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're live because we're configured to stay live in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachem, instructions of mercies. You're now tuned in to Blog Talk Radio. This is Soul Class 773. A new way is coming as we humbly assert we are higher in frequency. Blessed is our eternal creator, Baruch Hashem, Shalom, peace, and bracha blessing upon, as is written in Genesis 12:3, quote, all the families of the earth shall bless themselves by you, unquote. With creator's help, our next broadcast is taking place right now on May 30th, 2022, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, equals AKA, equals USA, equals Unified Soul Actualization. Our co-host, Jerome Sage, will be dialoguing upon an awakening which is occurring across all continents, where human families are congregating, namely a thirst and a desire to return to ancient knowledge which has become more accessible with the advent of modern technology, branded by social pundits, visionaries, and others whose views have been made known to the masses of humanity as the age of information. Our call-in number, if you want to make the show slightly more organic, is 563-999-3688. That's 563-999-3688. Meanwhile, may the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the infinite creator, blessed is he, guide and protecting your loved ones. Without further ado, my brother from the province of St. Andrews in the Diamond of the Caribbean, Jamaica. Good morning, Jerome Sage.
Shalom. Blessings. Glory in the name of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. I give thanks for being here, Brother Dan, once again, by the Spirit of Divine Providence, to share the telemetry of His Divine Presence amongst the living community.
Beautiful. Thank you, Drum Sage. Now, I just want to point out some statistics I've gathered before the program, Drum Sage, and for our listeners around the world, whether live or you'll hear the future archive version, is that still the United States is our most dominant audience, holding in 57%, followed by Canada, 11%. And again, Jamam Sage, it just amazes me that Russia is we have the third highest listenership, 7.34%. And I guess, you know, with that war in Ukraine, which I think is a runaway train of disaster, and as we shared just briefly before the program, is that there are silos of wheat in the Ukraine by the port where they set off on boats, which are not able to be delivering food around the world, and principally to Africa, which could cause a lot of people to have food shortages. And I think this is going to arouse, in my humble, opinion, it will arouse divine judgment, because we cannot hold food back from human beings. Also, Jamaica is our fourth most popular listening audience at 4.59%, which is probably 99.99% of your efforts, and hopefully that number will become 59% and the leading listener of our programming, followed by the United Kingdom, and Germany comes in under 2%. So, Joe, you're chiming in and then I'm going to talk a little about that song we just heard that was led by the Rebbe, about this need for human beings to want to reach back, not just to stop buying into the narrative of whatever the narrative is across the continents of the world, and how it is soothing and is therapeutic to go back into one's roots.
Blessings, Brother Dan. Awesome. Once again, I want to, give blessings of positive vibrational, offering, sharing in spirit to all the people who are currently facing conflicts, may it be in the popular mediums of, the multimedia communication or telecommunication, whether or not it's being promoted, spoken about. But these individuals are facing, most harsh and difficult situations. Some of them, these situations are caused by industry and not necessarily conflicts between governments. And I just want to pray the spirit of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh cover each and every individual who's going through a conflict of which they cannot comprehend, and is forcing them towards a new faculty of interpretation. And this new faculty of interpretation posits that we must, as Marcus Garvey would have asserted, go back to your root and your grounding, and the essence of finding your ancestral alignment, finding your cultural right calibration brings a sense of well-being. So the narrative currently is a broken world restructuring into a new era that is either nationalism versus globalism. And so, as they say, two forces of elite conjecture meet, and such there's a splintering in the ideological deep, and that ideological deep now becomes a swirling pot of whirlpools and deep vacuums that pull people's identity in. I have recognized that, the many pundits on social media have tried to present information that has been, to some degree, well-researched, myself included and many others, information that is reasonably well-researched based upon old documentation and trying to bring it into the digital spectrum. So the information predated that in books and, in other storage materials that is now being transcribed, into the digital space. Now, the essence of this new movement has brought more information to individuals to, I would say, postulate their existence, to be able to be informed more about ancestral ties, rooting on a world culture that is not told as an inference by the dominant, monarchies or the dominant cultures or the dominant economic military powers and such, because these dominant powers have been defining reality outcomes, and expectations for a while. The meeting of two forces of power in the higher echelon is causing a spin-off. Others would say it's just naturally the vibrational movement of the times, that as we are switching through ages, we are coming into an alignment where the power of God declares that there will be revelations, that there will be truth, unbound, as well as, darkness being loosed in other places as well, to, unclean spirits being loosed upon the earth as well. But at the same time, beyond the prophetical assertions, there is clear evidence that the socio-political future of a lot of countries, and hence the identities spawned within these new global republics and nation states, will affect the people. It's already affecting the people. So there's movements in dance, in culture, both on the good side of esotericism and on the bad side. So Brother Dan and, listeners, I see that there is this great shift, as one can duly, account for. And it's taking us in many directions, but the directions seem to be spawned from one sacred interest, to know thyself.
Beautiful. I just want to, before I mentioned the Rebbe's song that he led the congregation 770 here in Irie Heights, Crown Heights, that you mentioned something about a whirlpool. Unfortunately, through the insidious notions and presumptions and assertions of those who are social engineering, which really what they're doing is they're actually causing a chaos within their own spiritual and emotional and cognitive DNA, the whirlpool they're creating is actually a cesspool of confusion. And I think that it is thus upon individuals like myself in my part of the globe, and an individual like yourself and others who are like-minded, people to point out to people that, for example, I'll give you an example, and I'm sure you'll be able to come up with a similar example. The Rebbe revealed that song, the sound and the lyrics. Well, he didn't write the lyrics. Those were lyrics from King David's chapter 63. Now, the Rebbe himself is a direct descendant of Kings David and Solomon. So you see an taking from the ancestor from 2,800 years ago by a descendant, 2,800 years ago, leading a congregation in Brooklyn, singing about my thirst, I am longing for you, Creator. So it's taking something from 2,700 years ago, and that was recorded in the early 1980s. And I think that brings a healing. And the amount of time that song was recorded, according to the Torah Gematria, where a numerical value connects to the Lashon HaKodesh, the holy words of the Torah, is that it was a 2-minute and 29-second presentation, performance. And if we take the word the numerical value of 229, it relates back to the word in Genesis 24:48, va'avarech, and I blessed. And at the end of the program, we're going to hopefully segue out with an a cappella version of John Oded from Burning Spear, which runs 2 minutes and 28 seconds, and the Torah Gematria value of that is blessed. So we see here songs, as we've been talking about in previous presentations with Zalika and yourself, that songs have this power to bless others and themselves being a blessing. But, Jomsesh, maybe you could think of an example of some cultural performance that you've observed or aware of where the individual sang about. One thing comes to my mind, but I want to see what you come up with. Maybe you'll read my mind. You're going to experience some telepathy. But a song which reflects a culture, the same culture as the performer performing, or could be also an artist on an easel board, who is reflecting back something from earlier days or past days or centuries ago and bringing it down to the most existential stature of that presentation.
Well, there is an artist called Luciano in Jamaica, and he has a song that says, I remember when we were kings and queens in the motherland. I remember when. So even though it might not be of the language of a song that was written a long time ago, the influence and the suggestive is that the identity of self doesn't just start in the present age and in the present time of birth or birth experience. It extends to the family that is the ancestral. Peter Tosh has a song where he said, Moses and all of the great characters of the Bible are incarnates that are now the people who are carrying the message forward in the present age. And way back, I think there is a song, I'm not sure, it's probably by the, I'm not sure the group, but by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down. I remember when, we remember Zion, the wicked required of us a song. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And this song has been amongst the family of Hebrews for millennia, so generations, since the Exodus out of Persia or Babylon. So the music in cultural inference does take us back to that time, even in terms of uttering psalms, because also we sing psalms as well in Jamaica. It's a regular practice amongst Rastafari and Christians as well to sing the psalms of King Dawood. So the essence of it is that we I would say, translated the, not just the etymology, but the epigenetical memory into a contemporary view. And it is up to the individuals, because some individuals are more into their heritage, and as such, music will reflect that. Some individuals are in a postmodernist view of their heritage, and as such, it will reflect that, as in Rastafari. And others are in the modernist view, but still transposing that antiquitous behavior into a new translation, you know, into the multimedia spectrum. And some of those people are the vloggers too, right? Because what they're doing in their great research is unearthing information that wasn't a part of the popular narrative, because the popular narrative became popular because it was popularized by the powerful. And they gave that to the powerless and the disempowered, right? And so because of that, we have found ourselves, you know, through this age, sorting, sifting through and shifting through these, you know, many information sources and streams. And we are bringing forward a clarity. It's not completely there as yet, because it's growing. It's emerging. Mm-hmm. It's different movements. And like I said, they're seemingly going in different directions, but spawn from the same interest for liberation of identity. And it circles around knowing self to be able to fully commit to any directional ideology, because you have to know self. And I think people before didn't have enough gnosis on self. They were given a limited projection of self, and as such, they embodied that. But now, information superhighway, and it's causing, yeah, disorientation, disruption in what would possibly be called the status quo, which is shifting the assemblage points of consciousness to a new point of alignment and telemetry. So I say we are growing with it.
Yes. I want to mention the two examples that came to my mind, because I really didn't prepare for this program as much as I picked these two songs maybe like a half hour before our humble efforts this morning, which are, so far I feel an electricity in our dialogue, praise be the Most High, is that Bob Marley has a song where he talked about how Paul Bogle was sold out and Marcus Garvey was sold for rice. And, you know, you have to know where you stand in this situation. And also there's a song, I don't remember the name of it, but it was sung by Burning Spear. And it talked about the perspective of the indigenous people of the Caribbean and ultimately the Americas, North America, South America, of Christopher Columbus, and how he's not
being
the hero that he's
made. Liar.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's an important song for someone who's of that culture, whose people were oppressed, but also for, say, myself, because I wasn't enslaved to the actions of such a man. However, he was unfortunately synchronized to the evil designs of the church and the Spanish Inquisition, which created the antecedent for Columbus to be able to spawn his idea on King Ferdinand, and I forget her name.
Queen Isabel.
Queen Isabel. Which is interesting. Isabel is the name of an ancient queen in Israel who was always engaged in evil and tried to kill Elijah the prophet. So maybe there was some sort of matter of incarnation, you know, reincarnation into a person of another nation to oppress the nation of Israel once again. So I think these are very, very important points to bring out, Jerome Sage. And I think if we are honest with ourselves, we all have to become accountants with our time management. I'd like to share something with the Rebbe, and I'm sure you'll be very happy to spring off with your own elucidation and unique perspective on this. The Rebbe wrote this: "It is true that the flow of time is beyond our control, since we can neither slow it or quicken it, expand it nor shrink it. Yet in a way, we can directly affect time by the content with which we fill each day of our life. When a person makes a far-reaching discovery or reaches an important decision, he or she can in effect put ages into minutes. On the other hand, time allowed to go without proper content has no reality at all, however long it may last. Correspondingly, the Torah tells us that man, which also includes woman, has been given unlimited powers, but not only in regard to in shaping his own destiny, but also the destiny of the world in which he or she lives. Just as in the case of time, the real length of it is not measured in terms of quantity, but in terms of quality. So also in regard to a man's effort, every good effort can further be expanded by the vitality and enthusiasm which he puts into it. As Sage Om says, that one thing I note about you, you have vitality and enthusiasm with your life efforts and all your forms of communication and dabbling into the arts and the singing and the dancing and the chanting and the poetry. So your takeoff on the Rebbe is saying not just Jewish people, not just Israelites. He's saying man, human beings. And this is a directive from the Torah, not philosophy. It is an instruction and empowerment for human beings to tap into their divine image, get out and scrimmage, and bring ages into the minutes that we have in each day to transform the world. This is, I don't like to use the term because people might think I'm coming with a subterfuge, but this is the New World Order where people be actualizing and activating their divine image. That's the New World Order we want, where there's no more jealousy, hatred, and competition amongst human beings. Your take on that, Manager Ron, Sage.
Brother, I look at it in a similar manner that people in synchronicity is the perfect understanding of life, because when we break out of it, we are so confused, it creates all manner of, you know, I would say, mess and chaos. And the essence of it is trying to hold on to time or vacuum time or decompress time into ideology and into belief system and into behavior. It's like what we do is basically cause at one point overinflation and next time a complete deflation of purpose and attitude, and in some psychological terminology it can just be a burnout. And the essence of the right way to be in sync with time, it's the breath. You know, we emit that, you know, it is the breath, it is a transmission and a communication. And the vigor of it is just basically being present in the breath. When one has already used the breath in terms of a projection, it's already being, you know, siphoned off. The value of it is not even yet in the biological living being to even affect the psychological being, because people are so much into what they're going to be doing next, what they ought to be doing next. So time, right, and time comes down to timing. And so timing is not just taking a breath, but it's taking a breath in the right alignment. It becomes the notation we call the musical scale, but it is yet proper breathing. So in order to bring time and oneself into the same alignment, one has to breathe on timing. That's just it. And breathing on timing means that the oxidation of the blood will be in the right, you know, measure that proper thoughts can arise in the mental. And when the mental faculties are clear, as it is a director of the energy uses of the systems in the living being, you find that once your mentality gets clearer, the ideas of actuality becomes more pleasant to engage in. It's not just an intellectual or philosophical dichotomy. It actually becomes more pleasant to engage in because you begin now to feel it. You begin now to feel life. So Get Up and Dance is a Bob Marley song. And in any culture, mm-hmm, there is that telemetry of dance syncopating people within the tri-rhythms, within the circadian, within the toroidal fields of the earth. It is just natural that we are etheric beings and we feel that lightness of spirit, to put it in another terminology. We feel that etheric nature, that lightness of spirit, when we go into a place where forms aren't important, but virtue is important. And virtue becomes syncopated through breathing. We call that relaxation. And right, through relaxation, we can have right actualization. So now we come to the idea of a unified soul actualization, a true way to look at a new world system of order, because the essence of it is that the one that is projected to us is obviously the advancement of total chaos, marginalization, and the greatest impedance of a human existence. Is just the maximum of a system going to its greatest expanse. So the true alignment of the universal soul actualization is for each soul like ourselves, when we have found the center of the breath, and resonate like that awe-inspiring moment, that it also creates its ripple, like that stone that, or that dragonfly that, you know, disturbs the water, yeah, in the center, that ripples in spiral, syncopation, circular to the shore. Yeah, and it carries on. It carries on in more than just what is visible, because it came from more than just what is visible. It's a force, it's a source that brings us into magnetic and electrical alignment. The earth is one. I think the cultural dichotomies get there eventually, but postmodernist culture is to take a little bit of what has been and slap a new version on it. It's like a cosmetic treatment. We call it the facade. Put it in the marquee. If you have it up in lights and you see the show, but you don't see that the infrastructure around you is crumbling. It's falling apart, right? Because it's not maintained. In order to maintain it, it takes a different set of virtues. And in terms of the economic dichotomy, you have built to last, right? And you have ready to use, ready to wear. Ready-made is for an era that is only about securing profits. Built to last was about offering a service that was ingenuous and actually of value, because you knew that people wanted your product, your service, for the use and the benefit of the investment, whatever it was, right? They knew that it was an investment, and they wanted to make sure that this investment was worthy in the outcomes, whatever the services or the products were. In this age, because of that, the telemetry has changed. Ready-made, ready-to-wear, yeah? It's a disposable ideology of trend, and trending, again, also somewhat fueled by the contemporary mining mass industry, right? So the same mentality means that old virtues and values aren't maintained. That means old infrastructure isn't maintained, right? And the reverse squalor of a park becomes crap, because when you park it, then it becomes crap if it's not maintained, right? So the essence of it is that, yeah, we need to look at these alignments, because that's what's causing the breaking down, right? The moral standing and structure has lost its very footing, and it's become what we call bullet points and sound bites in the city of, you know, augmentation. And so you got to be in the right political dialogue to even get a point across, especially what is happening with transhumanism and gender issues and all these things that is now spiraled out of the domain of the human and has become this augmented, completely non-fungible token. And so this NFTism has brought our societies into this dark, morbid state of almost the beginning of dystopianism, not to use the Orwellian terminology. You get what I'm saying.
I was just going to, I'm sorry. I clearly hear. In fact, I was going to say, with everything you described, if I were to boil it down to one word, I would say dystopic, dystopia. Now, I just want to point out that from the Torah perspective, we don't promote utopia. We promote what is the ultimate destiny of the human family experience, all families of the earth. Again, as I mentioned before, no jealousy, no hatred, no competition. If people want to take a deep breath, talking about breathing before, take a deep breath and think and breathe in, and with that energy, which is basically the Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of the Most High in you, think of a world, or think with yourself, how can you reduce at even the teeniest, tiniest baby step in your consciousness, remove hatred and jealousy and competing against one another. So I'm saying, going into another matter, which I know you are very much, you have a great knowledge of, and you've touched base on it, identifying yourself on previous programming, I think even before the corona situation, the idea, the concept of Tano. The reason why I want to bring it up is that I recently saw a very quick presentation on TikTok of various peoples of various cultures ranging from the Caribbean to Mexico claiming and asserting they are of Tano heritage. Can you go a little deeper into us and what is the significance of this culture, how old it is, and why so many people now, as portrayed portrayed in the video I saw on TikTok, want to assert that they are of Tano lineage, and how that helps them maintain their own cognitive, mental, and spiritual balance?
Blessings. Well, my own research started with, you know, being a part of Rastafari.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then I got contact with the Holy Spirit, and I got my awakening, what, you know, Christians would call a conversion. But that is debatable, because Rastafari more is to the ancient Hebraic tradition, and Christians are more to the postmodernist, well, you know, followers of Christ. And we understand what is the dichotomy therein from Judaic into Christian. So I was searching through Rastafari, then came Christ, and the awakening started. And then I began, well, the first thing is like, I was told immediately, the ancestors had said, oh my God, we wanted Jerome to have been baptized for a long time, because there's so mm-hmm. much things we wanted to tell him, right? So obviously, my first thought was at that particular time that those ancestors are obviously were African ancestors, right? And obviously I was like, okay, these are Africans. But then, you know, when my healing, because I had a lot of dark telemetry from my old syncopations, so when those are being removed now and the vision of the dimensions became clearer, you know, my healer began telling me, you know, of what those ancestors are, because the person who brought me across first is a different person from the person who removed the darkness and caused the light of Christ, hallelujah, to sparking me. So upon the sparking of Christ's light in me, she said, these ancestors, they were the very short people, and they are the Aboriginal Zay of Jamaica, right? And mm-hmm. they are so happy to speak to you, right? Because then my telepathic energy and the dimensional wave bands were very low. I didn't have, you know, pure audience or clear audience. Sorry, Baba. But because I didn't have it at that time, I couldn't necessarily hear. But eventually, mm-hmm. the communications were established, and I began to understand as they began telling me about their autochthonous presence within the Americas. And first of all, one of the things they told me as to go with the ethnographic pictorial representation, in that they were more darker in pigmentation than currently right. Present within the Americas, right? And they told me about the culture, aesthetics, and the very essence that here was the cradle of civilization, and that the Americas is the lands that all nations came from, and all nations descended and spread out after the great earthquake, and even some before that, and, you know, people the entire plane. And they said all peoples are really rooted to them, right? I later began to understand, they told me stuff that was synonymous with what I thought was Egyptian culture. And then I began to realize that there was something so deep and syncopated that thousands upon thousands of years were conflated into the word Arawak, because that's what we were told. Arawaks were people of the Indies, and we are Africans brought from in Neolithic Africa, from, you know, Congo and all these places, and Ghana especially, and some from Nigeria. So being told that, you know, this is not necessarily the complete experience that our people across the Americas, you know, have actually always been navigating the landmass before the cracks. And after the crack, we did it with rafts and, you know, very ingenious methods of traveling between islands, between what we now call South America and North America, you know. That's in the mm-hmm. different ethnographic space of looking at the ancient worlds, not as how it's given to us. And so the knowledge and the gnosis of the Aboriginal heritage that was lost through Dom Devasi and the papal bull of the Edomite Empire, which is the Roman papal see, you know, the Aboriginals now through the age of revelation is coming as the time of Yahshua's return draws nigh, Hori Sababa, and the building of the temple, you know, is coming near. So because of this, you know, the ancient Hebrew, ancient Israelite nations in the Americas, you know, Taino is one of those nations, because a lot of the words and the essence, what is Taino, is actually ancient Paleolithic Hebrew. And as such, a lot of the information, not the Chaldean, not towards Yiddish, but ancient Paleolithic Kursa Baba. And as such, you know, the many different subjuncts of the Taino nation across all the different inlets, islands across the Americas are now reuniting their cultures, because remember, there's not just a cultural or historic anthropology, there's also linguistic anthropology and archaeological anthropology. And now we are discovering the pyramids all across the Americas, right across to Jamaica, Cuba, all across in the sunken caverns, you know, the Atlantean deluge. And so this information now is causing an upsurge in a self-identity that is not born in the Edomite identity. And the essence of Shekwaveh is being challenged, and that is, you know, their right over our lands, and Monroe doctrines and such has been challenged and such.
Beautiful. But I want to point out that the word Taino, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, the first, without the O sound, Tain, in classical biblical Hebrew means give, to give. And you would, if it were to be Tain Lo, it'd be to give to him. So there is, even in the word Taino, there is a Hebrew root. Now, you mentioned something which is very interesting, and I think most people, two things, and then I want to make another point. I'm looking forward to your response to this as well. That you mentioned about the Edomite influence. People don't realize that the Edomite, i.e. Roman influence, is still plaguing the mindsets of all the peoples of the world, because from the time of the destruction of the Second Temple, which is in 69 Common Era, there has been this movement to create replacement theologies of all sorts, shapes, and forms, economically, spiritually. And, for instance, the whole idea of calling the land of Israel, and I don't want to get political, I'm just saying historically speaking, I want to point out that there is a professor at Princeton University here in the United States by the name of Dr. Cornel West. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Yes.
Have you heard of him? Okay, so he calls Yeshua or Jesus a Palestinian revolutionary. But Drum Sage, when Yeshua, Jesus, lived, there was no such thing, term used for Judea, which was one of the Romans did is that instead of calling it the land of Israel, because basically the Judeans, the tribes of Judah and Levites and the Benjamins, the tribe of Benjamin, were probably there. Well, the ten tribes had been exiled already from the time of Sennacherib, who was the ancient Assyrian king. So it kind of pains me when I hear someone who is erudite and is brilliant and is good hearted, as Professor Dr. West, saying that. At the same time, too, and this is like an adjunct to that observation, is that I don't understand why so many Christians, and again, if that's the theology, fine. It's not my cup of tea. I'm not an adherent, a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah. But the Torah requires of me to understand that Christianity and even Islam is part of the messianic process. But I don't understand why people, they receive the Messiah, but they reject his culture, and then they throw accusations against us, like, for instance, being the synagogue of Satan, when, in fact, three times a day, Jerome says, one day we'll meet, I'll show you in my prayer book, we have an acronym called Kara Satan, which means to tear the Satan up. Three times, we meditate on that. Now, Joseph Hill said, I want to split loose this by the throat. We just want to tear him up. So why am I being bunched into some sort of synagogue of Satan, and the Christians, on the other hand, don't want to understand the Hebraic roots of Yeshua?
It is part of, again, political Edomite configuration. It's divide and rule, divide and conquer. And so when we get into the postmodernist view of religion, we don't realize that there's historical heritage of nations, states, and people. And if we go back to their own terminology, they are the tribes, the original 13 tribes, right? Transposed to all manner of philosophies and belief system as the earth's political power change. When the Persian Empire had been so powerful, it even helped us out of, you know, of confinement in Babylon. Right? Things that still to this day boggles history, but it shows the mark of the people of the Most High, that through all time the Hebraic nation, in all of its components, wherever it has gone upon the planet of the planet, has spawned many religious systems and offshoot, coming even through Mizrahim, right? And so the essence of that present of us going through even ancient Egypt, Mizrahim, we ourselves are branded in the New Age under philosophies and ideologies. And even though somewhere in the epigenetic is the memory, and some of us through scholarly work and spiritual work has had the induction to return to such gnosis, but the essence of it is a great socio-political and modernist religious ideology, a political religious ideology, leads the thinking. It's a kind of a kerygma, you know, it's a form of a theological theosophony, or a theosophical, you know, ideological premise being brought into the faith. And so the essence of the alienation is because of, you know, this divide and rule. But the essence of it, he comes to bring the lost, the sheep from the lost tribe of Israel, from the house of Israel. So all of us who are under that bloodline, they are chatting us and all of our Gentiles, brethren and sisters, and all of the subjuncts in the nations, right? We will be again gathered because, as the word says, the sheep know the shepherd's call. And there might be ideological differentials in terms of the old Judaic and Christianity in terms of its ideological premise. But in terms of heritage now, when you put back nation state, when we get back to the tribes, I could not say my brother is not my brother because he says Africa and I say the Americas.
Right.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's just what is real.
Okay. I want to mention 2 points that in Northern California, there is a native tribe called the Chumash tribe. And when I heard it, I was absolutely in shock because Chumash, Jerome Sage, is referring to the 5 books of Moses. I think, how did they get such a name, Chumash, which any 5-year-old Jewish child knows is referring to the 5 books of Moses. Also, there was at least one boat, seafaring craft, that was found in South America that had the ancient Paleolithic Hebrew written somewhere on the boat. And the Rebbe himself once commented, and he chuckled, and he said, I don't think the Vikings sailed into South America with Paleolithic or ancient Hebrew script writings on the side of the boat. You know, I mean, you know, someone went out there. And also, there are various chants in Native American Indian chantings which sound like the names of the Most High.
Yeah.
So we see there's a resonance.
Goshen is there. There's lots of ancient name terms that are Hebrew. And, you know, they also have the Anasazi, which is, you also have the Arabic script, you know, the sons of the Ishmaelites are there as well, too. You know, the generations of Noah has been there. The anthropologists, they're right up to the Inuits and the Alouettes up in Canaan, a.k.a. Canada, right over into what we call Iceland and Greenland, you know. But the Alouettes and the Inuits, right, their ancient language and, you know, they're not Gnosis from the Ten Kingdoms, those who were banished, those who went to Jeroboam.
You know? Right.
So,
right.
And Geronimo is Hebrew.
I have to think about that one. Just well, the
because
the,
it comes from when you do the etymology, you'll find it.
Okay, I'll
have to
look
English
word.
Pronunciation.
I mean, standing on one leg, I'm not, you know, cognitively. I'll have to look at it after the program. There was another point I wanted to bring out, and I lost it because I got caught up in what you were saying. But I'll try to extract it out of my the spider webs of my mind. Is that as well we see that there have been various proofs brought in modern history when you get a collective group of people praying for the benefit or welfare of an individual or others, that there has been actually an actualization of healing or partial healing or an improvement of the situation. The case in point, that there was an American football player, unfortunately he passed away many years later in a car crash, but he actually broke his, he chipped his spinal cord, or he broke it, became paralyzed, and while he was laying paralyzed in a hospital bed, his wife made a statement which reached all across the American nation to please pray for my husband, Dennis Byrd. At that time he was mamish, he was completely paralyzed. Eventually he would be able to walk again. So why, if it's so abundantly clear, Jerome Sage, that people can be encouraged to sing and dance and pray for the benefit of others, because we do see matters which have transpired where collective mass consciousness towards a positive outcome produces results far greater than any sort of social engineering, which again just feeds into the dragon of dystopia. Your comments on these matters.
Well, the social engineering leads to dystopianism. It's all about individualism, and individualism is a Unitarian principle of divide again, but divide to the decimal, divide to an utter decimation of any form of order and cohesiveness. So cultures have to be broken down. So if identity becomes not community identity, not natural identity, not human identity, it becomes just specific to your tribe and your group, and the tribes are ever getting smaller as the divide and rule in the Unitarian principle becomes more vast. Everything becomes more separate, broken down. And now we have a new gender set of perceptions and identity. Now we are into the digital spectrum of augmentation, Android, cyborg, NFTs, yeah? Non-fungible tokens, right? And so the splintering by the dark one, yeah, the one that you pray to rent into many pieces, of which I myself, you know, pray consistently, hallelujah, to tear Samael into many pieces as well too, Satan and Shaitan, right? So the essence right. of it is that Shaitan, in his devices and his activity in the human kingdom, has brought about divisiveness, and as it being the spiritual power that governs the outcomes of people's existence, then the manifest systems also take on the power of deception and the power of Shaitan. And as such, it is through their divisiveness they maintain the power over people who are usually disoriented. However, sometimes the soul reaches so deep from the Most High's presence through the very amplification and transmission tower of the human voice and soul, that it does reach back beyond Shaitan's power and touch back a unity in the soul. That is why universal soul actualization is the word of the age, because the essence of it is that that's it. Somewhere within soul-to-soul communication is the power of true awakening. And that is why voices sometimes are ignored, because they carry a weight, but they are being ignored because they are connecting. They're just being met with resistance. And so the divide and rule system is what's the cause. But the essence of it is that when the true souls begin to speak like the sheep, knowing the voice of the shepherd, then there will be a calling unto realignment. And each of us being stewards, you know, has to play our role through music, through creativity, through reasonings like this, through the sharing of gnosis information and functions and practices too. And also doing the cultural exchange to remind each other that we are truly, you know, cosmic universal brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, aunties, uncles, nieces and nephews, that we are truly a unified cosmic family. And doing these cultural exchanges, like I remember in the 90s and the 80s, you know, it's not just about your popular music, but actually culture, cultural exchange, that which is the fundamental practice that is Aboriginal or Tatinos, or even a little bit mixed, but still, that's what you share. That's your identity. So bringing back pride in oneself. We usually have festivals in Jamaica, so to bring back a certain amount of attention to the festivals and interest to the festivals, because if you make it with purpose, then people's identity will be broader than the postmodernists.
Beautiful. Now, here's a subject matter I'm sure that you didn't expect me to bring up, but I'm going to bring it up because I saw two video presentations last night in preparation for today's efforts. The concept or the subject matter of Obeah, which I understand was a craft which was brought from Africa into the West Indies, and I saw two different individuals who practiced it. One was saying, well, yes, I've summoned spirits, and it can cause a person to die or go mentally ill. The other person said, no. This, I only do good stuff with this, and because I believe in one true God, and anyone who uses it for evil purposes is actually going to bring the wrath of God upon themselves. And I understand at one time it was illegal in Jamaica because it was involved, I think in 1760 it was made illegal because it was an uprising on a plantation where the individuals who had been enslaved killed their slave masters. And then I think before Corona, I think there was a vote whether to make it legal. So can you give us a little historical interjection, Drum Sage, and why there should be such a disparate perception or presentation? One saying they call on spirits to either to take someone out or make them mentally ill. And the other one saying no, it's a vessel for you know, using God's blessings to help people.
Well, you know, we have done a series as well too currently, talking about the gathering and such, and so people want more information, because I guess we're coming to the end of the program. But people want more information, they can check out Sela Media, and we currently have a series on the gatherings. Well, the essence of it is, it's just evil technology. And people might say white magic, dark magic, witchcraft, sorcery. It all goes through the same end result of using outworld technology to manipulate the process of life within the human experience, biology, and communal endeavors. And it's not directed by anything that is good or celestial. It's directed, provoked by human-related tangibilities, wealth acquisition, and such ideologies. It's not really around any sort of, it is for the greater good. The inferences to it being used in the Asian Revolution and elsewhere, and it being made illegal. Illegal is just a legal inference on a piece of paper. The practice still continued, and hence still continues to be a part of the younger generation wanting to do God rings. But the essence of it is that the practice has not benefited the community. It's dark sorcery, it's dark esoteric, it's evil. It brings disillusionment, it brings spirits who cannot keep the human vibration at harmony with their vibration. Spirits are on a different frequency, a different wavelength. When they interact with human life, they affect the environment. And as we know, unclean spirits dwell within unclean environments. And these are usually the environments of these witch doctors and sorceresses and, these people practice the dark arts. So the dark arts is the dark arts by any other name. It's a surgeon to the times that shows that we are getting confused again, like the age of Noah. And that's what it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days at the end of this age. So the essence of it is that we're coming back to a point where people are feeling so broken, so drawn into darkness, that these things are becoming popularized again. So by no means do I ever support any means of that. Because it's like, it's hard to explain sometimes, but because it's so entrenched in people's culture, and a lot of people are drawn into it. But I pray they free themselves from such behaviors.
Okay, I won't say confused, I was like, wow, this is very interesting how there could be just disparate viewpoints of the same tradition. I'll be honest with you, even within the Jewish community, there's a historical legacy, unfortunately, of Jews who reject the oral Torah tradition, saying it's just written. So when I hear someone, like say a Jewish person, just say, well, it's, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, then everyone's going to be toothless and blind, I said, no, that's an allegorical instruction talking about, damages. If a person damages another person, causing loss of an eye or loss of a tooth, then the oral Torah tradition will dictate what is the compensation. Just like you have in modern law, if a person causes injury to another person, they go to court and there's a settlement for the amount, and there has to be usually a monetary award, not a damage. Drum Sage, I want to share with you something very powerful. Yesterday was the day of ascension of the prophet Samuel, the prophet Shmuel HaNavi. Now, Shmuel HaNavi should be someone who is endeared by Christians, Rastafarians, Jews, because he is the one who anointed the first two kings of Israel, and of course through the Rasta tradition or Ethiopian tradition, King Selassie is through that line. And the Christians, of course, they have Yeshua, Jesus. And of course, we are still waiting for our Messiah to come. And when I think of, say, like Lubavitcher Rebbe, may his merits protect us, he has that special anointment because 2,700 years ago that his ancestor was anointed by Samuel the prophet. So I'd like to read something briefly about the acquiring a prophecy by King Saul, Shaul HaMelech. And I'm going to the first book of Samuel, chapter 10, verse 2. And I don't know if we'll be able to have time to cover the whole thing as much as we'll just do like one verse, and then hopefully our next program, which I hope we can continue this, infuse a new wave is coming with the healing properties of music and culture and arts. And here it goes. In chapter 10, verse 2, Samuel told Saul, when you leave me today, you'll find two men near Rachel's tomb at the border of Benjamin in Tetzeltach. And they will say to you, the she-asses that you went to seek have been found, meaning the asses or donkeys of his father had been lost, and he went to look for them. And so people used to go to the prophet and say, for physical matters, they would ask the prophet, what do I do in this situation? So Saul, Samuel told him, look, your father has stopped being concerned about the she-asses and worrying about you, saying, what should I do to find my son? So in the oral Torah tradition, which I don't think anyone who has not accessed these teachings would never think in these lines, but this is our tradition which is written down. So like Gideon, who was mentioned in the book of Judges, who was taken from his granary to lead the nation, so was Saul taken to be king while searching for his father's she-asses, and was then offered the possibility of accelerating the rise of his spiritual state by miraculous means. On the road back to his home, miracles occurred for him without let-up. Their purpose was not only to confirm to Saul what Samuel had told him earlier, but like all miracles, to also spiritually elevate the individual who was witnessing the greatness of what was taking place. The miracle and marvel have the power to unveil to the individual the sublime spiritual aspect of his own personal condition. The revelation was especially necessary for Saul, whose soul was humbled despite being a warrior, because he had never filled a high position, meaning he had no experience as a leader. Hence, he was likely to feel unworthy of this lofty station which suddenly had been thrust upon him. The marvels he saw now had the ability to widen his self-consciousness, bolster his spirits, and aid him in attaining the spiritual state he required in order to run the kingship, the kingdom. On the other hand, it is possible that since Saul's rise in status was so sudden, what then happened to him was similar to what happened to other men who were abruptly projected to high positions of power. That is, since this rise in status was unnatural, the effect it created was the feeling of greatness was also unnatural, and it led to mishaps. And elaborating on the part of the verse that says, when you leave me today, all the marvels listed below will take place the very same day while Saul is on his way home. You will find, as it quotes in the verse, Samuel does not say you will meet, but you will find. The many will find that will not be coming especially to meet him, but will be involving performing a certain task in that place. Near Rachel's tomb, as mentioned in the verse, the prophet mentions three sites, Rachel's tomb, the border of Benjamin, and Tetzaltach. The various sites he lists are apparently superfluous, since all that matters is the people Saul will meet. But that really what matters, that he should meet certain people, which will hopefully in a future program we'll talk about that. Regarding the two men he will meet near Rachel's tomb, the idea is that it will be prophets' disciples studying in the house of study near the tomb will meet near the border of Benjamin. Samuel mentioned the fact that the men were descendants of the matriarch Rachel in order to remind Saul that he too was her descendant and he attained to the crown in her merit. Tetzaltach, in that area, that was either the name of a neighbor of Jerusalem or a temporary camp of prophets called by that name. And they will say to you, he mentioned the she-asses, which since they were now royal property, were now being taken care of by several prophets. The point I want to bring out, Jerome Sage, is, you see, today in 2022, in these areas where we have Rachel's tomb, where we know it is, and Samuel's tomb, and by the prophet Hoshea, and various places, all where the 12 tribes are all buried in Israel, you have places of study today in 2022 carrying on the tradition from 2,700 years ago, because the tzaddik, the righteous man or woman, because they sanctified their bodies and reached a very high level of holiness, sanctified the ground that they were buried in, and therefore individuals who want to connect to that sanctity, even though they can't interact with their face, they are actually somehow connecting, and by learning Torah and doing acts of kindness, they are, so that is our tradition, Drum Sage, to show that what was taking place then is taking place today. And this is one of the healthier aspects of our people. And I'd like you to your last comment today about how people have to realize if you've learned something that is authentically verified and there's instruction in it, there is no conscience in terms of living in 2022 on May 30th and replicating the deeds of your ancestors, but bringing out the novelty of your awareness in 2020 to fuse the ancient ways with modern means to bring this world to redemption.
Well, the new faculty of interpretation, as that was presented by Martin Mulpano, and I have engrafted it into my, you know, understanding, is that, yes, you know, we are scattered, fragmented, disoriented, but the beautiful thing about it is, you know, the law, you know, right, I mean, likened unto canon law, ecumenical law, is a law not just of behavior, but of, you know, the right measure of, you know, design and engagement with others. It's as much a moral law as it is a law of trade and economics. And so you find that in this time, you know, when we return to such perfect law as the Torah and all of its 613 laws, right, are directives of right alignment and right function and right behavior. We as individuals will inherit truly the kingdom, because the kingdom really starts with peace, starts with the syncopation of being able to move and function within all of the many moving parts of this reality. Currently, that is our drive towards returning, and we are not going to just let go just like that without really giving ourselves, you know, a true chance, you know, to find the harmony and return to a different kind of view of ourselves. We're being informed with information, learn respect for the so-called primitive, the native, the autochthonous, the indigenous, the aboriginal. Yeah, it's a time where the reins are being loose and we can regain again that ancient gnosis that is principle, odorless, colorless, genderless, ageless, and flawless. And once the principles are applied, they bring absolute benefit.
And if I may add to that point, and we all be united through righteous character development.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Jordan Sage, how can individuals around the world, from Russia to Jamaica to America to the Canadas to Tanzania to Kenya, Australia, Turkey, we also have listeners in Turkey, how can they connect to your artistic and spiritual endeavors, which also permeate and penetrate into the cognitive awareness of anyone who is sensitive to their divine image?
They can find me on all major platforms, The Great Owl. Just type in The Great Owl and, you know, my commercial music will come up. Sela Media, S-E-A-L-A-M-E-D-I-A, Sela Media, and that's on YouTube. And Trail Life Television Network on YouTube, T-R-E-E, capital A, capital L, common I-F-E, Trail Life Television Network on YouTube. You can find me there. And on Instagram or any other page, it's Jerome_Sage_Butler. Blessing.
Amen. I want to end with a blessing, Drum Sage, because the truth is, we have the coming holiday of Shavuot, which is the proverbial receiving of the Ten Commandments almost 3,334 years ago. And I have some vacation time, blessed be the Most High. And for some reason, I'm getting this thirst to come to Jamaica. However, logistically speaking, because of my family obligations, I can't. So I'm going to be praying, and I hope you'll extend your prayers to that somehow. And of course, we want the Messiah to come first, but if for some reason there should be a delay of 1 minute, 1 second, 1 hour, 1 day, 1 year, the Messiah coming, that I should be blessed to come and we can do a live collaboration. I'm just getting that feeling deep in my bones that this is in our destiny with the blessings of the Most High, so that I should get
Absolutely.
Down to the diamond
Hallelujah.
Caribbean. I think this would be taking our collaboration to the next level. But with that being said, we're going to end off with a 2 minute and 28 second presentation from Burning Spear, one of the classic reggae performers and a social visionary, virtue of his music and lyrics. This is taken from a movie, Rockers, 1978, which had an influence on me when I was way back in the day, when my hair wasn't gray and my beard wasn't gray and it was slightly shorter. It's called John Odette, about how a person refuses to give in to the Babylonian, the confused mindset of the Edomite dominant culture within the world as it was permeating to Jamaica. And it's, again, 2 minutes and 28 seconds, with the value of 228 equals the Torah Gematria of Baruch, which means blessed. So we're going to sign off with wishing everyone have a wonderful day. And the Almighty, we should know that if one thing is living that we are connecting to make us, to lively up ourselves, as Bob Marley would say, is to acknowledge that John Noel dead. Take care, everyone.
Listen.
We're having a little cognitive, a little feedback trouble, but the song hopefully will come in a second. As well as, apparently there's some sort of unexplainable. Hopefully the next program will play it. And we'll just wish everyone a good day, and something's going wrong with
Absolutely.
My computer. Anyway, everyone have a blessed day. That's also from the Most High, and we'll start off the show next time, next month, Jerome Sage, with the song, the John Nodek. So everyone have a wonderful day. This is your international local cyberspace Torah activist, Torah Askan, Don Zuzia Gumi, along with the Sage for the Age, Jerome Butler Sage, Jerome Sage Butler, and everyone have a blessed day.
Until next time, blessings.
Amen.